in your Bibles, if you have them, to Romans. It's been an absolutely amazing book for me in my own walk. I hope for you and yours, as the Word of God washes over us in this incredible letter Paul wrote. And there's this overriding truth, right? That Jesus Christ died for me and it worked. I am justified. That means good, righteous. I'm alive. I'm blameless. I'm holy by what Jesus has done. And so I trust him. And we have a name for that word. It's called faith. Trusting Jesus paid it all and it worked. So the Bible here in Romans, Paul says that some people, you know, trust a lot. And some people trust a little. So the people who trust a lot are strong in faith, and the people who don't trust very well, they're weak in faith. And I am not joking to you today. I feel like I'm weak. I am. I love merit. I love competition. Man, the Olympics were fun, weren't they? Even this, I was watching, was it this morning or late last night? It was the Olympic marathon, the gal, and she was like, came flying at the very end forward and won it all. It was her third medal. It's triple of the 5,000, the 10,000 in the marathon. And I started crying. I thought it was so amazing. And she's not even American. So, you know, the basketball, whatever it, I, personally, I struggle to let my kids win a board game. I want to win. I like it. I want to be seen as a winner, someone who worked really hard, someone who did all that. I want to earn. I want to show that I love. I want to show how amazing I am by my work. God through me, sure. It's humbling, you know, just to receive grace. To believe Jesus did it all forever and I'm free. I don't like most of the time how I am. My body's old and crumbling. I struggle. So we have this theological explosion, right? You and I, we know Jesus alone, the whole first half of Romans, really. We heard that God is in charge now too, you know. That was chapter 9 and 10 and 11. His plan is happening. He's not limited by you or me. And then the last chapter, we saw that though the law is done, we died to it, you know. It doesn't have anything to say to me in Christ. Yet while I'm alive, waiting for Jesus to return, I do the law because that's how our society works horizontally. It restrains sin. So we go ahead and live under the law, though Jesus has freed us forever. It's about his love, not about mine. But I still do the love because I'm waiting. And then so this hardest piece is the waiting, trusting Jesus, while at the same time sort of continuing to live here as I look in a world of merit, of judgment. That's what I'm not very good at. And then our Christian life here really isn't just about me. It's about us together. So actually very practical and helpful today as we head into gospel relationships from chapter 14. What do you do with someone who's weak in faith if you're strong? You know, what I want to do is get them strong too. Okay, well, how? What does that look like? So we're talking about relationships today in light of the gospel, how we're going to live with other people in light of the single greatest aspect of our lives, which is trust in Jesus, in his work for us. Especially when we mess up what being strong is. Right? We think it's something else. Because it's not being loving, that's not strong. It's trusting Jesus. So what's strong? What's mature? And then what's immature? What's weak? And it's about faith. Okay, so this is what we're going to do. So first, we're going to talk about welcoming the weak. That's the first thing. As Paul starts Romans 14, verse 1, he says this. As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. So if you've been going along with us and you've been walking through Romans with us, this comes out of the blue. Kind of, what did he do? He just sort of like shifted and now he's saying that. What is he? Why? Well, this is really good because the gospel is us waiting. And as we're waiting, some of us are waiting strongly and some of us are waiting weakly. And so how do we deal with each other? That's this. There's help for walk life on earth, help for walking in the gospel, help to please and glorify God. I kind of say, give me the instructions. And Paul's like, well, here's some. Take these. Okay, welcome the weak in faith, but not to argue over opinions. What? What's the idea? Why does it matter? Those are good questions. Let's read the next verse and then we'll identify some more. It says this, one person believes he may eat anything, and the weak person eats only vegetables. You're with me, right? I knew it. Real Christians eat bacon. Those vegetarians, they're weak. No, that is not what he means, right? He's talking about Christians following dietary laws and restrictions, and he says, those are in the law of God, you know. The dietary restrictions are in the law of God. Have you heard of Daniel? He was strong, and he was eating only vegetables. So he's saying there's people who are associating sort of the wisest way to live, and what God is most pleased with. So over here you've got Jesus has done it all, and full stop, and I'm free, and there's no more pleasing of God to be done, and that's it, right? I can't behaviorally get God happier with me than receiving that Jesus actually loved me and I'm in Christ. But over here, there's a group that's like, yeah, I'm saved by Jesus. But my behavior really matters, you know. I got to do it right. I could miss out. Like my behavior and my actions, I could do something that could cause me to fall back. And where they were looking for in this example is at the laws about foods, particularly sacrificed to idols. Regulations on what to eat and not to eat. So the strong ones, right, are free and don't care. The weak ones are saved, but this really matters. You better do this stuff. God's going to really get you. Well, good thing we don't really care about dietary rules, right? No, that's actually wrong. We fall into this stuff all the time. We do. This characterizes our life. Not diet, but we're very prone to this sort of approach. The weak say, wear a certain style of dress to church. The strong say, any clothing you want to wear. The weak say, play music a certain way at church. The strong say, oh, all music. The weak say, man, you do realize you should avoid Christmas because it's pagan. The strong say, you're free to open all the gifts you want. The weak say, are you kidding? You're going to get a tattoo? Don't you realize that's in the Bible? The strong say, it's just ink. The weak say, avoid certain foods. They're bad for you. The strong say, no, all foods are okay. The weak say, man, don't you use those fossil fuels? Evil. Strong says, God's creation. I can use what I want. The weak say, don't watch the Super Bowl. Don't miss church on a Sunday to go to the fair. Thanks for being here, guys. Don't watch TV. Don't play video games. Avoid movies. Because that's what pleases God, you know. See, all those doing this, the idea is those things expose you. They take glory away from God. It's not what He wants you to do. You are not glorifying Him. So, yeah, Paul is sort of upside down from a Christian cultural perspective. Right? This is a big deal. Christian culture kind of says the strong are the ones who are behaviorally tight, that are well put together, that are doing all the right moral things, that are shining kind of on themselves a little bit. Living clean and wholesome for Jesus, loving well. But actually, the strong in our text today are the ones who get the gospel and are free. Right? Deep faith in Jesus. Now, stop and just appreciate that with me for a moment. That strong is free. Live life from stopping at the cross, not from advancing to personal glory. Advancing to glory necessarily involves determining who out there is doing well and doing bad. That's called judging. Based on behaviors, right? So being strong is, in this text, not worrying that someone will be stunted or missing out. Why would I not worry? Because I trust Jesus. He actually is in charge, not just of me, but of you. That's cool. I trust that Jesus, what he said is true. What Jesus said means that that people who confess him but don't make my choices, they are living life in a saved condition as the Holy Spirit is actually using them. They're just as free as I am. So that's maturity, which is faith, which is trusting Christ has you. We are new by Christ all the way. This pathway goes to the cross. So immaturity or weaker faith would be thinking you have to get to Christ, or Christ is doing things so that you'll accomplish. Often comes out in these language like you're balancing. It's kind of what Jesus did and what you need to do. It's no balance. It's only what Jesus did. And do you trust it? Okay, so you might think like me, say, okay, I kind of get where you're coming from. In this text, what Paul's doing, and he's talking about being weak and strong in faith. And so you think like me, we need to get the weak to be strong. So therefore, what would I do? The number one thing that I would think about doing, well, me especially, like I said, I'm not strong in this area. I want to argue. Let's break out our Bibles, and I'll break out the Greek, and you can break out your Greek, and we'll go at it. And so it's interesting to me, like I want to pound people with my superior logic. Why you need to stop eating only vegetables. And it's not only because bacon is delicious. It's because of the Bible. And why you need to watch my favorite TV show. You will eat this idol-offered steak and you will like it. And that's where this gets relational, because it isn't just about defining what's weak and strong. It's so upside down. This is also about how to live with people whose faith is weak. So they are limited. They love merit. I love merit. They're addicted to judging. They think they have to get it right. And so they often want to argue. Again, I told you I was weak on the front. So by they, just say me. I'd love to argue. Never found an argument I didn't like. And so here I see the Bible and it says, oh, wait, welcome. But I want to argue. Why don't you dress up more for church? Or the flip side, why don't you wear flip-flops? If you don't know what flip-flops are, tell me after. I'll talk to you afterwards. They're fabulous. I might start wearing them. Why didn't you come to prayer meeting? Why didn't you drive a large car? Why didn't you give your car away? Why did you get a tattoo? Why don't you avoid fatty foods? I have all these thoughts. We poke into other people's lives and we judge away. Why aren't you living for the glory of God? So that's why this is really remarkable, right? Let me go back if I can. Can I go back? As for the one who's weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. Welcome, but don't try to make people like you. Don't argue. That's the thought, right? You just let it be, aphiamai, let it go. Here's the attitude in verse 3. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains. And let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats. For God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. Okay, wow. You got to unpack this. You got to get this in your heart, right? So the let not the one eat despised and let not one who abstains pass judgment. It's both sides, right? Typically, the strong will be tempted to look down on those who are limited. I'm free and you should be too. Typically, the ones who have are more bound up and I got to do these things for God are judging the one who's acting in freedom. Right? Paul's getting it. But there's more here. But you see the why, right? That underneath it is accept each other and build your lives on something greater than convictions about these side issues. Why do you accept your brother or sister who has different convictions than you when you don't agree? I mean, they love Jesus, but aren't they wrong? And what I need to do is get them right, and that means I should argue. No, that's absolutely not right. Paul brings us these three great truths to get into your heart. Unwelcoming, right? The first is, from here, do you see this? God has welcomed him. The strong and the weak should be welcoming because God has welcomed. This is the great foundation of our forbearance towards anything anyone else is doing. That God has justified the brother by faith. He stands accepted by God. This is not calling out sin, although it's going to feel that way because the dietary laws that they were arguing about were about keeping the law. If you don't do that, that's sin. They weren't going like, oh, it's just your opinion, whatever. God justifies my brother not on the basis of any of their behavior. Can I say that again? Now you got it. It's about what Jesus did for him. Do I believe that? Then why am I trying to make their Christian walk about their behavior? What am I doing? I'm telling them something different than what I'm saying I believe. That's the issue. Right? That's the issue. God has welcomed them, hasn't he? It's what Jesus has done for them, not to change their standard. He has them. And so he says there in verse 4, who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? To his own master he stands or falls. That means we are going to give account to our one master in heaven. You do not need to be the judge on either side. Said, but I'm just trying to help, you know, I'm trying to help my brother. Yet you don't know what's going to help him. That's the problem, right? Well, that's not really true. Welcoming them will help them because it emphasizes that you understand what the issue is. I know and believe the love that God has for you. Now, let me give you an example. So what I start to think is I look at somebody and say, wow, you know what? They need to work harder to be a better witness at work. Why aren't they getting up earlier? Why aren't they staying later? They're going to lose their job. What a terrible Christian witness. Is that true? Maybe. Does it matter? Do you actually know what God's doing in their life? Do you know when they lose their job, was that not God's will to get them into a different job where they're going to talk to somebody else and that person's going to get saved? Do you actually know? As you tell them how they're going to live their life, oh, judge. I don't know. I can say, yeah, no, this is what I think. I can give wisdom. Don't get me wrong. Wisdom is good. But we're talking about judging people, thinking about I'm representing what God wants for them. We don't know. I'm saved by what Jesus has done. I know that. I can welcome you, but I don't necessarily think like you. Stop playing God, right? That's what he's saying. Instead, welcoming is around what Jesus has done. If people confess Christ, that's fabulous. Stop manipulating based on what you think they should do. Well, they're wrong. Yeah, Paul knew that these guys who are like doing the dietary thing and eating only vegetables, they're wrong. But what he doesn't do is open their mouth and shove their wrongness down their throat. He welcomes them because the issue isn't they're wrong. The issue is, did Jesus die for them? Are they confessing Christ? And actually, it gets even stronger. Do you see the end of this? Oh my goodness. And he will be upheld. The person who's wrong, Person who's doing it right. You're on one side going, I'm free and I'm doing what I want to do. And those guys are wrong and they're doing it wrong. But they're going to be what? Upheld. For the Lord has the power to make him stand. Oh my. The weakest believer will stand. The future of believers is not up for question. Right? The tattooed brother will stand. The brother who doesn't celebrate Christmas, what are you thinking? Will stand. The sister who watches the Super Bowl, including the halftime show, will stand. The sister who wears a head covering will stand. The brother who insists the only way to pray is kneeling will stand. The sister who drinks a beer will stand. No, I need to warn them that that's not true. No, he's saying welcome, but not to argue. Right? The brother who throws away his TV and moves into the woods. What? Will stand. Why? How could all those people stand? They're doing all these crazy bad things. Because Jesus Christ died for them. What's your hope? That's the idea, right? Their connection to God is not their alcohol use. It's the blood of Jesus Christ for them. So these are strong reasons to welcome and receive and accept one another into sweet unity of harmony and fellowship. And this is what the gospel says right away. Always when Paul's writing, he writes Ephesians, three chapters of amazing things. And then the very first thing he says, you walk in unity because there's one God and one faith and one Savior of all. There's more ones. But he's saying, this is it, right? This is the center, the first response, unity, these huge theological truths. They should minimize church squabbles. They provide the right framework for disagreements. His solution to sort of being ruined by small things is to get the reality of the big thing right in the middle. We call it the core. This is it, you guys. This is why I'm your brother. It's not my strength or my weakness. This is what the gospel does. Our only hope in life has nothing to do with your excellent choices. We've come to know and believe the love that God has for us. So, one strong in faith knows that they're free to enjoy or to abstain. So, showing that trust in Jesus, that trust they have, is to welcome people who don't think like them. They're free to be limited if they want to. The weak brother will want to argue and limit and base their walk on their own behavior and the behavior of someone else. That's not it, says Paul. But you still win them by welcoming them, not by beating them up. Okay, I know that my standing isn't based on my behavior, but does that mean, here's the question that comes up next, does that mean I don't get to have opinions? I got to be a mushy marshmallow. I just, okay, yeah, whatever. You can do whatever you want. Doesn't matter. Is that what I'm supposed to do? Is that grace? Is that like us as we live under the Christian life and I read my Bible and I see what it says and how people ought to live? Do I have to like be opinion free? Absolutely not. The issue is not having opinion. In fact, this is important. We're leaning on belonging. Why does that matter? Keep going with me. Here we go. It says one person esteems the day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. Okay, you see, this is not about days. This is not really about food. It's about faith in Jesus and our desire, wrongly, to make everyone think like us. I'm tempted to think, well, if I'm going to be strong in faith, then I can't have any opinions about anything else but Jesus. Baloney, says Paul. I mean, that's what he's saying, right? I hope you see how cool this is. This is the basis for our fellowship right here. We have a core from the Word, who Jesus is, what he's done, felt salvation, full and free. And then we have a bigger realm in our church of opinions. You may read the Bible and say, I know what revelation means, and it means this, I think. And someone else will say, I don't think so. I'm a halfway pre-trib max predestinationalist. Like, well, I'm a covenantalist. What are you talking about? Blah, blah, blah. Pretty soon, those people are fighting. Not here. Because you can have your strong opinions. You don't have to get everyone to your corner. I mean, this is a huge, awesome, amazing witness because we have opinions about how to live out this Christian life, but this is part of the doing, right? The best witness ever is that having radically different opinions does not shake our foundation. You know how otherworldly that is? You got to know now. Come on. Can I say a few words? Let's start with this one. Trump. Half the people said, I hope you're going to say something about how horrible he is. And they're like, yeah, make America great again. They're polarizing, right? But our society is so polarized right now. So polarized. Climate change. You know, somebody's like, I think we should stop using gas and everything should run off renewable energy to save the environment. And the other people are like, what? There's no such thing as anthropogenic climate change. There's that meme, right? I think it's Homer Simpson. Somebody fading into the bushes. I just don't want to talk about any of it. There's 100 more, right? We have a divided nation, a divided world, and it comes down to, for us, the gospel of Jesus Christ is not saying give up your opinions. It's saying there's something underneath it. How can I embrace somebody of a totally different political stripe than me? An absolutely different idea of how society should be run than me. And they can come to this church, and we are remarkable when that happens. And we've had it happen. I hope it's true of you. The wonder of the gospel trumps, sorry, the wonder of the gospel is so much more amazing than anything else that you think, right? God has allowed people with remarkable different convictions to belong. How do they belong? Because of what Jesus did. But he didn't change my mind about structural racism in society. You think that has anything to do with the incredible love that God has for you and for your brother who doesn't look like you? He's everything. That's this. By the way, Paul very much thinks the convictions of the weak in faith are wrong. He's not saying all opinions are right. There are opinions that will be shown to be true. There are opinions that will be shown to be false. He's saying as a command, be convinced. He's not saying give them up. He says, we are the Lord's. That's the ticket. Right? The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. And the one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord, gives thanks to God. Right? See how amazing this is. He's not softening up your opinions. Not, I think we should do something you don't want to do. No, he goes the other way. He says, not as a concession, like, oh, you can have your own conviction, I guess. No, he says, you should. It's a command, like the same word is there, like Romans 4, where it's like Abraham was fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That's this word. Clear faith and full conviction. You say, but doesn't that make it worse? That's not better. Like I have strong feelings. I'm taking an example that I'm sorry if this is you. I'm not trying to single anybody out, but it's a good example that's easy about days mattering. Someone feels very strongly that Christmas ought not to be celebrated. And then there's somebody else who feels very strongly that not just that it can be, but that it should be. So strong feelings, isn't that going to cause problems? Yeah, somehow. The answer to really strong conviction isn't, I'm so mad about this that I'm not going to be near you. But you're still my brother. That's the witness of the world. To the world of the Christian is that we have this something that's underneath and deeper and I actually say, yeah, you can go do that. Just don't judge me in my choices. I won't judge you in yours. But not stop having that choice. Don't let it break fellowship, judge, and pull others to your way. Because these big truths are here, right? It's true that Christians on both sides of the issues are glorifying God with what they do. They're both honoring the Lord. Well, they're not. They're wrong. Yeah, you know, God can allow people who think wrongly to honor him. Wild. Things as opposite as eating and not eating, and death and life can both honor the Lord. Death and life, yeah, that's where he goes, right? For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. Why life and death? Because they're extremes, right? The opposites of alive and enjoying the pleasures of life and food and exercise and cool air. The dead, ultimate abstaining from everything the world offers. And both of them, not just one of them, experienced by believers to the Lord. To the glory of the Lord. To show the infinite value of the Lord. If Jesus can get glory from those things, he can get glory from your little differences. In fact, you know, whether we live or die isn't even up to us. So if we're here and we're waiting for Jesus and we live or die, and you're going like, man, Dax, you better maximize your healthy eating so that you live as long as possible, because that's what glorifies God. Does it? If I eat perfectly for 25 years and I get 3 extra days, is that what I was supposed to be doing? Or is I supposed to enjoy the hot dog? Oh my goodness. That goes right to my arteries. And then I'm going to die 3 hours earlier. Which one was more glorifying to God? Well, that's a silly argument. Well, exactly. Exactly. You don't know. He's talking about life and death, and the one who keeps you in life, and the one who's with you in death, and the one who's going to resurrect you. And all of it is Jesus. And so you live your life the best you can with full conviction, but you don't know. So you don't try and make everybody else avoid every hot dog on the earth. Although, you know, once you see that pink slime video, you're going to avoid it. I'm telling you. We have a soft heart towards each other. That's what he's after. And the life and death, everything glorifies God. Why? Because he is glorified in you. Because you trust Jesus. And that's why he says, so then whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. That's the connector. You belong. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord, both of the dead and of the living. Oh, he is. It is not you make him Lord. It's the opposite of that, right? He is. This is a problem for so many people. Like, I need to make him Lord of my life. He is. Whether you live or you die, you put your trust in Jesus. He is glorified in you. You don't even see it. You don't know it. You'll look back, I believe, in heaven and see how the Holy Spirit did fruit through you. It's going to be fabulous. But the idea is not, oh man, how do I get more glory for God? That's what weak faith is. Like, I don't know that I'll get glory for God unless I choose the right activities. You think it's up to you? Welcome. I'll welcome you. I'm going to call you weak, though, because you are. It's okay. I am too. We can be together knowing Jesus is everything. So the essence of strong in faith is that he has done it all. He is Lord. The essence of weak in faith is I need to make him Lord. I need to get him more glory. So how will we need to be done for today? How is this going to help us? It's first humbling. It's been humbling in my life. I hope you see this. I'm weak in so many ways. I don't just trust Jesus for me. I have this overlay of me for Jesus. And I fight it. I need your help. I need you to speak the truth to me. I need you to speak the truth of forgiveness in Christ for my failings, the righteousness of Christ for me that I'm clothed in. And I need to speak that to you. Because I so often impose other things on people. Even when I think I'm strong, I want to make people live in my brand of freedom. Like somehow I've got the corner on it. No, we do not. We have an amazing God. Come back to the cross. Live life from stopping at the cross, not from advancing to glory. Advancing to glory necessarily involves judging how other people are doing based on their behaviors, and we're going to stop. You and I can have peace today. You and I don't have to convince other people. You and I do not have to impose. You and I do not have to think that God is going to be sad with you, with me, or with them. He's already died for everyone's sin forever. He's invited us in, and he will cause us all who trust in Him, He will cause us to stand. That's an amazing hope. And that's what we hold hands over. So live as you're convicted, will you? No, drop this idea that you need to get people to do certain things and come back to the cross where Jesus Christ paid it all and it worked. May you trust with me the Holy Spirit for us, because we know that He's using each of us to bear the fruit that God wants on this earth in life and death because of His victory forever. We are His. We are His. Forgiven. Pure, new, forever. Welcome to the family if you trust Jesus, right? Let's pray. Lord, thanks for this passage. It helps us to live with each other. We need relationships, Lord. Please help us to have gospel ones. Help us to embrace each other around the cross. Help us to appreciate the differences that we have. Lord, I pray that this place might be a wonder in our ability to not agree on small stuff, but to amazingly embrace at the cross. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your righteousness. Thank you that it's ours. We ask this in Jesus' name.